Okay, so I thought tonight let's do something a little bit different. And let's try to learn some Torah from my teacher, Rabbi Mordechai Zilber. We call him the Stachina Rebbe. That's not necessarily what everybody else would call him. That's because he was a student of Rabbi Yehuda Horowitz, who was the Rebbe of Stachin. He's not a relative, though, of Rabbi Horowitz. He was a student of Rabbi Horowitz. And one of the things that Rabbi Silver is, it's distinctive about his way, is his Torah comes from within himself. When you read Rav Volbi's description of Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz, the Torah came from within Rabbi Yeruchim, and he had certain deeply felt feelings from the neshama. His soul just lifted up, and out of it things came out. So that's really the style of the Stachina Rebbe. It's not Torah that's so linear in terms of point A leading to point B, as much as the neshama is flowing. And there's a connection here that you can feel from one point to the next, even if some of the ideas are a little bit vague somewhat. And one of the things that's unique about his style is he does try to put together lots of different things, find a theme and run through the parsha with the theme. This week's parsha is Parshas Chukas. It begins with the account of the mitzvah of Parah Aduma, which the Torah describes as Zos Chukas HaTorah, the great chok of Torah. And if someone is Tamei Tumas Meis, he has the highest level of impurity, having been under the same roof as a dead body or touching a dead body. It's very hard to remove that impurity. But the one thing that can remove that impurity is a completely red cow being slaughtered. Once we had a Beis HaMikdash on the Mount of Olives, with its blood sprinkled towards the temple. It's the only sacrifice that's not actually performed in the temple. And then the entirety of the animal gets burned, together with a bunch of other things, a hyssop branch, a cedar wood, a string. And the ashes then get placed into a container, a shofares, and that a little bit of the ashes get mixed with pure spring water, and then a bunch of hyssop is dipped into this mixture and sprinkled on the from that they sprinkle some drops onto the person who's tamei meis. And he becomes pure. And that's called Zos Chukas HaTorah, the law of Parah Aduma. So number one question that he addressed is, why is this called Chukas HaTorah, the chok of the Torah? And it's seemingly a chok within the Torah. How is this the chok of the Torah? Parsha goes on, and after telling us about Parah Aduma, we hear about the death of Miriam. When Miriam dies, the well that was miraculously there stop to produce water. God tells Moshe and Aaron to take the staff, gather the people, v'dibartem el asela le'inehem, speak to the rock, v'nasan meimav, let it produce waters. Moshe takes the staff, he hits the rock, Hashem tells him, yan lohem mantim bilakti sheni le'ine b'nei Yisrael, because you didn't believe in me, you didn't sanctify me in front of the eyes of the Jewish people. Therefore, you will not bring this community to the land that I am giving to them. So again, what's the connection between this story and the account of Parah Aduma? So we know that Moshe Rabbeinu not entering the land of Israel really was sort of built in. I mean, it was going to be very, very hard for Moshe to enter the land because Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of Am Yisrael and his nation wasn't going in. The nation wasn't going in because of the sin of the spies. So once the ship's not going, the captain normally doesn't go ahead without his ship. In fact, there's a medrash. The pasuk says, V'yasa rashei am tzidkas Hashem asa Mishpatavim Yisrael, let the leaders of the nation come, the righteousness of God he has done and his laws with Israel. God told the told Moshe, it's your praise that you took out 600,000 and you are going to bury them and bring in another generation? I mean, what are people going to say? So you know what? You should stay with your people. V'yasa rashi am, you should lead them in mishpat avim Yisrael. So, you know, it's sort of built in that the Jewish people, we're not going to get Moshe to lead us into the land of Israel. He has to find some type of a sin. So Hashem finds this sin of Yan lo hemantim bi, which is remarkably similar to the sin of the spies. The sin of the spies, also the language that the Torah uses, Ad ana lo ya'aminu bi, how long will this nation not believe in me? So apparently, because that was the sin that prevented the generation from going in, Ad ana lo ya'aminu bi, there has to be a sin like that in regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, some level of, on his level, of lack of emunah, and that's why he can't go into the land. So let's try to understand this. Why is the sin of the spy is a sin of lack of emunah, and what is it about the land that requires such strong emunah? So let's go into, really back into the story of the sin of the spies. Moshe sends the spies to the land, and he tells them, "Uraisem es haaretz mahi," you know, examine the land, see what it's like. "Es hayama yoshev aleha," see the people living there. "Hechazak hu harafa," are they strong, are they weak? And other questions, right? And the fruits that they eat, and the cities that they live in. And finally, "Hayesh ba'etzim ayin," is there a tree there or not? Now the Zohar says this was the most important question. So what's this question? "Hayesh ba'etzim ayin," is there a tree there or not? So the Chassidim explain, and the Zohar explains, the question of "Hayesh ba'etzim ayin" is, can you get to the level of the Eitz HaChaim? If you get to the level of the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life, then you can get into the land. But if you can't get into the level of the Eitz HaChaim, then you can't go into the land. So what is this level of the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life? So a bunch of questions, right? Number one, why is it called Zos Chukas HaTorah? Number two, why is faith so needed in order to enter the land? What's the connection between the sin of Mei Meriva and the law of Paraduma? And going back to the story of the spies, why was there such a centrality to the tree, meaning the tree of life? So the Rebbe suggested like this. The land of Israel is also a place of life. The Torah says about the land of Israel, so that you will have many days, and your children will have many days on the land that Hashem has promised to your ancestors to give to you. In fact, the Gemara in Brachos has an amazing story. They told Rabbi Yochanan that there were old rabbis in Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan lived in Israel. So Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't understand. The verse says, "L'man yirbuyim eichem yimevin eichem al ha'adama," so that there will be many days for you and for your children on the land. Outside in Bavel, they're not in the land. How could there be any old age outside of the land? They said, well, no, but those rabbis, they come early to shul, they stay late in shul. He said, okay, that's so they can have a long life. In other words, the land of Israel is the place of lots of life, of a long life. And if you're outside the land of Israel, to have a long life, there's got to be some extra merit. They come early to shul, they stay late in shul, that gives them a long life. So what does it mean, a long life? Literally the words in Hebrew are arichus yamim, length of days. What are length of days? So one level is length of days is lots of days. But another level is that each day is long. That each day has a special quality. Each day is filled with life. Each day is filled with a great achievement. Now, there's a certain life which makes the day that you live, if you experience this life, a different type of day. It becomes a day of arichas yamim, a day of lengthy life. And that gives you a great sense of eternity. That's a day of connecting to that which is eternal. And that's really a very special day. And perhaps the root of this is the idea that there's something called Malchus. There are kings. We have David HaMelech. We have Shlomo HaMelech. And the land of Israel is considered the place that represents God's attribute of Malchus. So the same way we find that in Israel, you can have Arichus Yamin, you can have days that are filled with a deep life, long days. We find that in regards to kings, there is a special hope. Leman Yarich Yamin al Mamlachta, that he should merit to have long days in his kingship, that his kingship should have many days. The idea is like this. A king is not just the leader of the Jewish people. The king brings to the nation a new level of life. It brings to the nation a life that's so meaningful, so deep, and so purposeful that it's like a long life. Each day becomes filled with such a great quality. We see this in the mitzvah of the king. The king has a mitzvah to write 2 Sefer Torah. Every other Jew has to write 1 Sefer Torah. But a king has to write a second Sefer Torah, as the Torah says, V'kasav lo as mishnah Torah azos al sefer. So he has 1 Sefer Torah in his home, another Sefer Torah that he always carries with him. He needs to have a Sefer Torah that he's always looking at, he's always carrying, he's always associated with. And what's the Torah? The Torah is Eitz Chaim. When we put the Torah back into the Aron, we say Eitz Chaim hilamach azikimba, it's the tree of life. Through the attachment to the Torah, we merit to get this deeper life, this more meaningful life. And a king needs to bring this deep life. That's why the king has to write a separate Sefer Torah that he always has, and a Sefer Torah that's Beveis Knazav, in his hidden chambers, to reach that which is secret. In fact, the verse says, Vaisaimo, the Sefer Torah will be with the king. V'karavo kol yamei chayav, he should learn from it all the days of his life. The Zohar says that from this Torah, the king gets kol yamei chayav, all the days of his life. He gets a very, very deep life. And his days become long days. That's what a Jewish king is supposed to do. And that's what the land of Israel should be. It should be a place of a very long life. A very deep life. And now the Rebbe suggests an amazing thing. How do you get arichus yamin, length of days? How do you get the feeling of life in your day, that it's there's so much in it? You get it through another arich, another long. That's erech apayim, arichus apayim. Being very, very patient. Being willing to wait. A person who's willing to wait doesn't get angry, doesn't get upset. People offend him, people upset him, but he just doesn't let it get to him. He's the person who gets a long, long life. Because the pshat is like this. To get to a very high level, you have to appreciate that level. And if you appreciate it, you might be attached to it. If you don't appreciate something, then you have no connection to it. There's no way you can own it. That's what we find the pasuk says in Yecheskel about the Beis HaMikdash. Ba'u ba'pritzim v'chileluha. The brazen ones came and desecrated it. It says the Gemara, pratzum na'asechol. They desecrated it, it became secular. In other words, the Beis HaMikdash is something very, very exalted. A person who's parutz, he's very brazen. He's very, very external. He doesn't connect to anything deep, anything exalted. He's a lot of chutzpah. And with this chutzpah, he stands against all the holy things, all the great things. So when these people of great chutzpah come to the Beis HaMikdash, and they don't appreciate the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash, then the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash leaves. And these pritzim come, and they make the Beis HaMikdash empty. And so already the holiness is gone, because they don't appreciate the holiness. That's why our Chazal also tell us, Yish yesh chil Hashem biyado. Person has chil Hashem, has desecration of God's name, The only way to erase it is, unfortunately, through death. Because if he has chilul of holiness, in other words, he doesn't appreciate holiness, he desecrates holiness, then, you know, he doesn't appreciate holiness. So holiness is going to leave him. He's going to lose it. So he lost holiness. So as a result, measure for measure, unfortunately, he loses life. So how do you appreciate things the right way? You appreciate things the right way if you're a patient person and you don't get angry. To get arichos yamim, length of days, we need erech ruach, someone who doesn't get angry. Let's go deeper. Why would someone not get angry? What gets us angry is the pressure of the moment. What was said right now, the insult, the challenge, that's what's there, that's what might get us upset. If a person doesn't pay attention to what's said in the moment, he's focused on meaningful things, on deep things, he doesn't care about what's said in the moment. And he's a person who has erech apayim, he's slow to anger. In other words, he's connected to what's eternal. Because what's eternal doesn't appear right away. So it takes time. So he doesn't react right away. He's willing to wait. He's a deep person. He's a person who has length of life. So let's review. We said that Eretz Yisrael is a place of length of days. We said Eretz Yisrael is a place of length of days because it's the place of Malchus, and Malchus needs many days. We said the meaning of a king having length of days means that a king has a qualitatively different life. Length of days will come about through length of attitude, not getting upset, seeing something deeper, connecting to something deeper, not getting upset in the moment. Well, now let's apply these concepts. Who was the first king? Shaul HaMelech. What happened to Shaul? Did he have length of days? 2 years, that was it. He didn't have length of days. Very, very short rule. Why did he lose length of days? Because he lost Erech HaPayim. He didn't have patience. What caused Shaul not to have length of days was that there was no patience. Let's start from the very beginning. Was it the time for a king? It wasn't the time for a king. The people jumped the gun. They don't have patience. They say, no, we want a king. And Shmuel's all offended. You know what? I'm your leader. Hashem says, don't worry. They're not offending you. They're offending me. It was lack of patience. It was the first step was lack of patience. The whole request of a king was because of a lack of patience. They should have waited. Should have waited. And then a couple of years later, it'll be the right time. David HaMelech would have been anointed. But what happened to Klal Yisrael? They panic because of what they see. It's a difficult time. There's Nachash, king of Ammon, fighting with the Jewish people. They're worried. They're worried about the Plishtim. They say, we need a king. They try to force the idea of a king before the time. Hashem Yisbarach says, "Vatiru ki Nachash melech bnei Ammon ba'aleichem." You see that Nachash, king of Ammon, is coming against you. "Vatomruli," and you tell me, "Lo kim alochim lo chaleinu." This is what Shmuel Anavi says. And you say to me, "No, we want a king." Says Shmuel, "Vashem alokechem alkechem." But God, your Lord, is your king. In other words, God is your king. What are you rushing? So the people rush. It's the opposite of Erech HaPayim. To be connected to a deeper life, you can't get upset about the moments, the pressures, the statements of right now. What about eternity? What about what really matters? But the people were stressed. That's why they pushed and pushed. We need a king. They get Shaul. The whole creation of Shaul was to rush, unfortunately. And we find that Shaul, unfortunately, makes mistakes in not waiting. The Navi tells us, again in Shmuel Aleph, the Plishtim gather to fight against the Jews, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, people as numerous as the sand on the sea. Shaul's just been made king, and they don't even know what's going to be. So Shmuel tells him, wait 7 days. Shaul waits, doesn't have Shmuel there. Most of the Jews leave him. He's left with 600 people in Gilgal. The verse says, Vaya biyom milchamos, lo nimtza chere v'chanis, biyad kol ha'am asher et Shaul ves Yonasan, v'atimtza l'Shaul Yonasan b'no. The Jews didn't even have weapons. The Plishtim had taken away all the weapons. Shaul and Yonasan had a weapon, but none of the other 600 Jews that he has with him have even a weapon. They have thousands and thousands of Plishtim. What does Shmuel tell him? Shmuel says, you should wait for me. Shaul does wait for a week. But after a week, and he sees he's losing some of the people, and Shmuel's not there, and the Plishtim are at Michmash. So Shaul says, Ata yerdu plishtim elai ha-gilgal, upnei Hashem lo chilisi. I was afraid of the plishtim coming to attack me. And I'm not going to first pray to God. V'asapak, v'ale ola. I held myself back, and I offered the ola. Shmuel comes, he said, what's going on? Shaul said, I couldn't wait. In other words, this was the key test of Shaul. Are you going to wait? Are you going to wait even though there are all these stresses and pressures and challenges? Because you don't care about what you see. You care about something deeper, something more eternal. But Shaul couldn't hold himself back. He couldn't wait. If the king doesn't feel that there's something deeper than what he sees, the people are not going to get it. Shaul, according to Chazal, his heart told him to wait. He should have believed in what his heart told him. That would have been his moment of success. Because God gives leadership and guidance to the heart of the king. And even if the mind says something else, if the heart of the king is telling him what to do, that's what he should listen to. Had Shaul listened to the heart, listened to the life God is giving him, he would have waited. But he didn't wait, and he lost the kingdom. So what we see from the whole story of Shaul is this concept. If we want to get length of days, we want to have days of deep life, deep meaning, we acquire it through our own patience, being deeply meaningful, not getting moved by what's going on around us. And maybe this is also connected to the idea of truth. When we talk about length of days really is to have a little bit of the spirit of Yaakov Avinu. Gemara tells us in Tanis that Yaakov Avinu never died. Yaakov Avinu lo meis. So if you have length of days, it's slow, it's hard to die, that means you have a piece of Yaakov. And Yaakov's attribute is truth, as the Pasuk says, Titen Emes LiYaakov. The Gemara says about truth that the letters that make up the word truth, Aleph, Mem, Tav, Emes, they all have 2 feet, they all stand. Truth lasts, Kushtakai. That's not so easy to get to truth. You have an Aleph, and you have to go all the way to the Mem, through the Aleph Beis and all the way to the Taf. Then you got to truth. You have to go through everything. You have to go through letter after letter after letter until you arrive at truth. Think about falsehood. It's very easy to get to falsehood. Shin, Kuf, Resh, they're right next to each other. It's quick to have falsehood. When we're quick on a decision, when we get moved by the moment, it's easy to fall into falsehood. But if we want to have truth and we want to have that which is eternal, we have to be willing to wait, to push, and to push, and to push. So maybe this is also what happens with Moshe Rabbeinu and the land of Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Egypt tells Paro to let the Jews go. Paro says it's going to get worse. Moshe goes back to Har Sinai and he loses it. He says to Hashem, Lama Ariyos Lama Zeh, why'd you make it worse for the people? Lama Zeh Shlachtani, why'd you send me? In other words, Moshe, what are you upset about? Because things are worse? Because Paro said something? Aren't you connected to the truth? You heard Hashem. You know what the Chafetz Chaim used to say? He used to say, I'm more sure that Mashiach is coming than that the sun is going to rise tomorrow morning. Because how do I know the sun is going to rise tomorrow morning? Because of one pasuk. The pasuk says in Parshas Noach that after the flood, Yom Valayla, day and night, Lo Yishbosu won't end. It means every day there's going to be a day, the next day, another night. There's one pasuk about day and night. You know how many pasukim there are about Mashiach coming? The only way I know the sun is rising tomorrow is because Hashem said the sun's going to rise tomorrow. But he only said that once. You know how many times Hashem said that Mashiach is coming? I'm more sure Mashiach is coming than that the sun is rising tomorrow morning. That's a person who's living in the truth. He's living in a very deep realm. It's not what his eyes see. It's what the truth is. It's connected to an inner reality. Moshe Rabbeinu, why aren't you connected to an inner reality? You're getting so upset, things are getting worse. But Hashem said Gula's coming. Where's your orach ruach? Where's your patience? It was a very difficult challenge. There were people who attacked Moshe. They said to Moshe, Yeir Hashem aleichem v'yishbot. You made life worse for us. You made us smell bad to Paro and his slaves. It was very hard. There was a lot of stress. But that's the goal for redemption. If you want to get to redemption, you can't get caught up by the stress, by the noise, by what people say. You have to be focused on what Hashem says, bigger picture. So Hashem tells Moshe, Ata tira asher asela faro. Now you'll see what I'll do to Paro. Gemara says in Sanhedrin, you'll see what I'll do to Paro, but you won't see the war with the 31 kings. You've lost your rights to enter the land of Israel. Because to enter the land of Israel and to overcome the 31 kings, you have to be someone who's attached to something very deep. Doesn't get swayed by the externals of what he sees. The opposite of the Erech Ruach and perhaps the reason why there was this lack of Erech Ruach was because of what the Torah says about the Jews. V'lo shemuel Moshe mikotzer ruach. They couldn't listen to Moshe because of shortness of spirit, because they couldn't have that deeper perspective. To get the land of Israel, you have to have arichus yamim, length of days. And to get length of days, we need to have erech ruach, length of spirit. Not to get angry at what people say, not to be worked up at the current reality, not to be swayed by the fears and the stresses, but to believe in a deep, deep good that's beyond all of this. You have to realize that many times there's a deep, deep shell. And that shell is covering a great good. And we need what's demanded of us is courage, strength, certainty to get through that shell. To think deeper. We think about this, this could be connected to the idea of the tree of life. Adam eats from the tree of knowledge. God says, oh, now there's a danger, he might eat from the tree of life. So what does God put as the barrier to the tree of life? Lahat, the blade of Cherev Hamitapachat, a sword that revolves, that goes this way and that way. Think about that word, hamit ha-pachat, that keeps flipping. The tree of life doesn't flip this way and that way. The tree of life is connected to life. It's not changing from life. It's on track to life. All the stress and the strum and drang and talk and stresses and fears. But the tree of life is staying straight. La tacher v'hamit ha-pachas. A blade that revolves this way, that way, flipping here, flipping there. The wind blows this way, the wind blows that way. the popular thing is this way, the popular thing is that way, sometimes this way, sometimes that way. That's not the tree of life. The tree of life is the real, real strength. If you want to have the tree of life, you want to connect to real life, you have to be someone who doesn't get swayed by the moving currents and the wind that's blowing. You have to be firm. You have to have erech ruach, length of spirit. Maybe that's what's going on with the spies as well. To get to the land of Israel, you have to have real patience and a real connection to that which is really deep and really real. And you can't get caught up by what your eyes see. Now the spies come into the land, so Hashem gives them a test. He shows them the weaknesses of the land. He shows them people dying. He shows them a land that it's hard to conquer. Because if you're someone who has real erech ruach, real length of spirit, you look through it all. You don't get swayed by it. And you just stay firm. You just stay firm. But unfortunately, the spies weren't able to stay firm. They saw it, and they were right away swayed. They gave up. The truth is, if you go even deeper, we can say, if we want to get life, we have to withstand the challenge of the opposite of life. Because if we have to get a level of life, we need to first conquer its opposite, and then we can get to life. So in order to get the Eitz HaChayim, the tree of life, we have to overcome death. What's the first place that Avram Avinu acquires in Eretz Yisrael? Hebron, a place of death, a place of burial. It's a place of death. It's the first place the spies go to, Aluza Banegev. It's a place where it doesn't seem possible to live. But the truth is, where though that place, Hebron, is really the deepest life. It's that Avram is still alive, and Sarah is still alive, and Adam is still alive, and Chava is still alive. Through Maras HaMachpelah, you walk into Gan Eden. You walk into eternal life. But that's the challenge. The challenge is to get through what seems to be the opposite and to push through. The spies come to the land of Israel. What do they see? They see death. Eretz Ocheles Yoshvehi, a land consuming its inhabitants. Of course they're going to see death, because the land of Israel is the place of life. So you have to overcome death to get life. What did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them? He said, I want you to look. Hayesh ba'etz im ayin. Is there the tree there or not? I want you to look for the tree. I want you to look for Eitz HaChayim, for eternal life, for the tree of life. I want you to break through. But they don't. Kalev tells the spies, Tova ha'aretz ma'od ma'od. The land is very, very good. Why does he say Tova ha'aretz ma'od ma'od? The land is very good. Let's go back to Bereishis. In Bereishis, normally, whenever God makes something, the Torah says, Vayar Elokim ki tov, God saw it was good. Until the very end. The sixth day, Vayar Elokim eskal asher asah, God saw all that he made. V'hine tov ma'od, it was very good. Our sages tell us, tov ma'od is a reference to Malach HaMavis, the angel of death. The angel of death. That's Tov Ma'od, that's very good. That's the language that Kalev uses. He says, this is Tova Ha'aretz Ma'od Ma'od. He said, you're seeing death. No, you have to look deeper. Look through the death. Get to a very good. Get to the Vayar Elokim Eskal Asher Asah V'hine Tov Ma'od. It's not just Tov. It's Tov Ma'od, it's very good. And since it's Tov Ma'od, you have to break through the power of death. And we can even hint this in the following way. Avram Avinu
buys Maras HaMachpelah for 400 shekel of kesef. Yaakov bought the field around Shechem, which is where Yosef is buried, for 100 shekel kesef. Now these two graves, the grave of Yosef and Maras HaMachpelah, together are 500. Me'aksita and 400 shekel kesef. The Gemara says that the Eitz HaChayim is 500 mil long. To travel, the Eitz HaChayim would take more than 500 mil long. It's 500 years long. To travel through the Eitz HaChayim, it would take 500 years. In other words, the Gemara is saying, if you want to have eternity, you need to be a very patient person, deliberate, not swayed by what's going on. You're attached to the Eitz HaChayim. You're attached to the real life, to the tree of life. The Gemara says in Brachos that a person who runs loses 1/500th of his eyesight. And what's his healing? To look at Kiddush. When he looks at Kiddush on Friday night, he restores his eyesight. What do we say on Friday night? Vayar Elokim eskal asher asah, v'hinei tov ma'od. God saw all that he made and it was very good. Not just good, very good. In other words, I lost 1/500th of my eyesight because I was rushing, because I wasn't patient. But then I look and I see there's a very good. And there's no need to rush. There's a very good. There's a life that's very good. Let me go slowly, looking deeply, and I'll get to a very good, a deep good. Maybe this idea that you have to break through a death to get to the life of a deep life is really the nature of the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. The Rebbe of Karetz makes the following point. We know that Chava was encouraged to eat from the tree of knowledge because the serpent pushed her against the tree. And he said, well, the same way the tree doesn't kill you by touch, it's not going to kill you by eating. Why would she even think that she couldn't touch the tree? So the Rebbe of Karetz says like this. God tells Chava and Adam, don't eat from the tree, because the day you eat from the tree, you're going to die. So Chava had a question. We should ask on this. But there's a tree of life. And if I eat from the tree of life, then I can't die. So how could God say the day you eat from the tree, you're going to die? If you ate from the tree of life, you're not going to die. And even deeper, that's the whole point of the tree of life. If you don't eat from the tree of knowledge, then you're not dying. If you eat from the tree of life, then you're not going to. Then what's the prohibition of eating from the tree of knowledge? So the Rebbe of Karetz said like this: the verse says about the tree of life, "Eitz HaChayim b'soch hagan." The tree of life and the tree of knowledge were intertwined. You couldn't get to the tree of life until you first went through the tree of knowledge. Without touching the tree of knowledge, you couldn't touch the tree of life. So Chava says, if Hashem says that we can't eat from the tree of knowledge, what it must mean is we can't touch the tree of knowledge. Because if we can touch the tree of knowledge, then we'll already get to the tree of life. Then what's the big deal in eating from the tree of knowledge? So what emerges from the Rebbe of Karetz, this Torah, is that the tree of life, you get to it when you first touch the tree of knowledge. Chava was wrong. She was allowed to touch the tree of knowledge. You have to touch the tree of knowledge, which is the place of death, and out of that you get through to life. Because to get the life of the tree of life, a real deep life, a life of eternity, a life of feeling eternity, you have to be able to have touched death and go through it and not give in to death. You have to overcome the challenge of death. That's the only way to get to the tree of life. And that's why Vayar Elokim eskal asher asah v'hine tov ma'od zemalach hamaves. God saw all that he made. It was very good. This is the angel of death. There is a seeing of death. There's a touching of death. And then breaking through it to get to life, a deep life, a very purposeful life.
The spies come to the land of Israel, and they're touching death. They're seeing a land that's Ocheles Yoshvahi. And their challenge is to go deeper, not to let that get to them, and to hold on to the real connection of the land, to holding on to the land. So maybe we can suggest that this may be connected to the life of the land of Israel. Rashi tells us the reason why the Torah begins with the words Bereishis is because Koach Ma'asav Higid La'amo Lassis Lehem Nachlas Gayim. Hashem has told the power of his deeds to his nation to give them the land of seven nations. Throughout the account of creation, it's Vayomer, God said, and he said, and he said. Except for the very first statement. The very first statement, Bereishis, that's in the beginning, that's above statements, that's above words. Koach Ma'asav, the force of his deeds, gives us the land of Israel. We get the land of Israel from the level of God's statement that's above words. We've said that a king is like the land of Israel. So the king's life comes from a place that's beyond words and beyond understanding. It comes from a very high level. Maybe that's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the day when we make Hashem king. And we make Rosh Hashanah through the blowing of shofar. The blowing of shofar is a prayer without words. It's from a place higher than words. It's from the essence of the person, from the very life that Hashem breathed into me, we breathe back to Hashem. That's where the power of the kingship comes. The power of a level, of a deep, deep life. The Torah says about inheriting the land of Israel, Kilo b'char b'm yarshu aretz. They will not inherit the land with their swords. Uzroam lo hoshia lamo. It's not their arms and muscles that help them. Mincha, rather, it's your right hand. Uzroacha and your arm. V'or panecha, and the light of your face. Ki ritzisam, when you love them. Or panecha ki ritzisam. If you want to inherit the land, you get it from the light of Hashem's face. You get it from a level higher than words, higher than merits. You get it from Hashem's love. And that's what happens in Rosh Hashanah. When we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, we bring great life to the malchus of Hashem. As the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Hashem says, Imru lefanei b'Rosh Hashanah malchios, say before me on Rosh Hashanah malchios, kedei shetamlichuni aleichem, that you make me king over you. We have to make Hashem king over us. Amen. How? By shofar, through the shofar. The shofar is our way of getting to the level that's higher even than words. And that's the way to get to Eretz Yisrael. How did Yoshua conquer Yericho? By blowing shofar. Through the deep, deep connection to Hashem, to a deep, deep life. After the sin of the spies, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Ata yigdal nakoach Hashem kasher dibarta." The spies sinned with words. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, but words can't affect Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael is from a level higher than words. It's from shofar. It's from the statement of Bereishis. It doesn't have a vayomer. The spies are Vayomru. But Eretz Yisrael is higher than that. Eretz Yisrael is Koach Ma'asav, the force of his deeds. So Moshe says, Ata yigdal na koach Hashem kasher dibarta. Now the great power of Hashem should be revealed, as you've spoken. Words that only you can speak. Words that people can't emulate. High, high words. That's what Eretz Yisrael is all about.
And with that level, we should be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. So maybe that's what's going on here. When Moshe is told, V'dibartem el ha-sela, speak to the rock, it's to speak with very, very high words. Words that are very, very exalted. Words that break through all the different barriers. Words that are beyond words. Unfortunately, the only way to get to such a level is by not getting moved by the people. The people are all upset, they're complaining, they're angry. Moshe should have the emunah. On his level, Moshe a little bit was swayed by the people. He lost that deep, deep patience. He got a little bit upset. Moshe was afraid. And so at least he hit the rock. In other words, to get to that level that he was supposed to get to, there had to be a little bit of a crisis. Not knowing, stress, and staying firm. And unfortunately, Moshe was worried in this crisis that the people would lose their emunah, they'd stop believing. So he went for a lower miracle, he hit the rock. And unfortunately, because of that, he lost the ability to enter Eretz Yisrael. He lost the ability to go into the land. So now, we can try to suggest the following. That the purity of the Parah Aduma is called Chukas HaTorah, the Chok of Torah. In other words, the level of Parah Aduma is a level beyond understanding. And our connection to Torah has to be with a commitment that's beyond understanding, Chukas HaTorah. But unfortunately, Moshe Rabbeinu lost that level of beyond understanding. Person with who's attached to the beyond understanding. So even though based on what he understands, there's reason to be stressed, he doesn't get stressed, he stays patient. Moshe Rabbeinu lost that patience. He hit the rock. And as a result, he didn't enter Eretz Yisrael. But the lesson that we need to come out of, or what we need to take away from this, is that we need to be firm with our belief and all the promises that Hashem has given to the Jewish people. We need to be people of Erech HaPayim, not to be swayed by what we hear, by what we see. We have to have the slowness to be deliberate before we respond, because we are attached to the deep, deep truth that's higher than words. And with that deep truth, Bezrat Hashem, we'll merit to see many, many miracles, many, many blessings. This is the Torah of the Stichina Rebbe. This is his style. Very, very broad. A lot of different ideas put together. Thank you.